You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me this Tuesday night back here on the home court after a wonderful week in Madison back at WGBW, making sure Conrad does not get into trouble. Tomorrow night on the show, who do we have, Conrad? I lost my list here for some reason.
Well, we have Matt Miller talk about some of those blockbusters that are going on right now.
Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. We've got Kim Mothy from Appleton talking about Mile of Music.
Yep.
And then who else do we have? I can't find my list here for some reason. We've got the
curator of Mustard Museum.
Oh, I love this. The Mustard Museum in Madison, curator Barry Levinson, no relation to the other Barry Levinson, who's a famous film director. But Barry is great, and he loves mustard. He's coming on to celebrate National Mustard Day. When I was in Madison last week, I had breakfast with my son and my niece at this place, and I saw this really cool building, the National Mustard, I don't know if it's the National Mustard Museum or a more regional mustard museum, but they know they're mustard folks. That's all you need to know. So that's tomorrow night on Nightlight. Hopefully you'll join me tomorrow as well. Right now, let's get back to our guest, Mike Siegel, the very talented comedian and host of the Travel Tales podcast and numerous cable shows. He's had a stellar career.
Stellar.
Now he's in a hotel room. Where are you again, Mike?
Juneau, Alaska.
Yes.
I'm in Juneau. And it's so funny. When you were talking about Vacation, the movie, the Mustard Museum is something Clark Griswold would go out of his way to visit, along with the second largest ball of twine, which is only 3 short hours away, or what, 6 short hours, or whatever it is.
I love when the bartender in the place where they go in Dodge City ignores him. And then Chevy Chase finally says, "Hey, underpants." The guy turns and blows him away.
I shoot him.
Oh, that's
I'm
so
okay.
Great.
Great. The kid's deaf. Our son is deaf now.
And then he always says, "Oh, what's the difference? It was fun anyway." Let's talk about Vacation, Mike. Today is the 42nd year, right? Anniversary? Dropped in
1983.
83. Yeah. So where do you rank that, Mike, with some of the better comedies in the 80s, like the John Hughes comedies or Fletch or Caddyshack, Ferris Bueller?
Well, it's another thing that I remember watching the National Lampoon documentary and realized that a handful of these writers pretty much shaped my comedy outlook on everything. I mean, everything that they did, from Animal House into, you know, John Hughes came out of there.
Yeah.
You know, who he wrote Vacation, which was based on a National Lampoon article
that he wrote.
And so that's up there for sure, because, and it hit me hard too, because I was in high school when that came out, but my family did that trip, you know, from Chicago to California to go to Disneyland. And we stopped at everything. I think we stopped at the Petrified Forest. We did the London Bridge in Arizona. I don't know if you ever saw that.
No.
It's in Lake Havasu City.
Okay.
And look that up. Yeah. That's a replica of the London Bridge, or it's an actual piece of the London Bridge. I don't know how it worked, but it's, yeah, some guy brought it out to Lake Havasu in the 70s, and it's still there. You could go see it. But the Petrified Forest and all that, I remember, you know, it was the old Route 66 thing through St. Louis and, you know, Oklahoma City and Amarillo and all that. So, yeah, I remember doing it. And that was my first trip to the West Coast ever. And that was it was pretty mind blowing to see what I was watching on TV. You know, to those of us from the Midwest, Pete, you know, like a desert is completely foreign. Mountains were a really big deal.
Yeah.
And so, to see those mountains and like, wow, I couldn't believe it. You know, this looks like Charlie's Angels.
It also, in a weird way, gave me an appreciation for the Midwest, because especially when you fly and you see how, like, I love the desert now. I didn't always, and mountains and the ocean and all that. I flip for it. It's great. But I also remember flying back to the Midwest and seeing how green it was and how thinking how cool that was. But you're right, Mike. Vacation, Harold Ramis directed it, another heavyweight from the National Lampoon. And we all took those trips, too, it seems like, out west. And I remember as a kid going, this is terrible, because we camped. We had a pop-up camper.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't campers, but my mom and dad bought a camper after we moved to Wisconsin. We took it out west, and all I remember is sand everywhere. but I look back on it fondly, and we saw Colorado and the Grand Tetons and Old Faithful. It was just, those trips are so fun.
Why do you need my address? We'd like to send a mailer.
That whole Brian scene Doyle is Murray. So great. He comes out and he tells him how much the tents are. It's like $45 for three tents. And I think Clark says that's a little steep. And he says, oh, they're very nice tents. And that price, that price includes scenery and wildlife fun.
Like, wildlife fun. And they get to one of them and it's like, you know, the canvas is all collapsed and it's like water and there's a duck swimming in it.
Oh, right. The pool. Yeah.
Yeah, the pool. Oh yeah. The, yeah, I remember we had an RV too. First of all, we had a motorhome, and then we went from that to a camper. But we didn't take that all the way across. But we used to go down to Florida with it, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, from Chicago. That's where we did a lot of the camping thing. But yeah, I couldn't. No desire. Like, an RV has just like a certain smell to it. And you're right. Once sand gets in, it's in there forever.
Yeah.
It's never coming out.
Totally.
But no, it was a great trip, and AM radio, Pete,
yeah,
the entire time. And I remember, I pegged the year as either 76, 77, because I remember the song, you know, you go into a different market, your radio would pick up each top 40 station. Cause you know, back then AM, it was either top 40, country, or Jesus. That was your three options on the radio. So the top 40, I remember we were hearing Dancing Queen by ABBA, Hotel California, Dust in the Wind.
Stairway to Heaven, maybe?
No, nah, the top yet. 40, no, we'd skip. But those three I remember distinctly we would hear every time, like every hour, it seemed, on the hour. And it's just ingrained in my memory.
We had my dad growing up. He's a great dad. We have a great relationship, but I never understood why he didn't like rock and roll music. My dad was raised like with Irish tenors, and he's a singer, and he loves classical music. And we were driving through Provo, Utah. I don't know how we made our way up to Utah, but I said, you know, my mom was like telling us about Provo, and my dad, this is an actual quote, he said, well, any town that plays classical music on an AM radio can't be all that bad. And I'm just in the back seat shaking my head going, I'm, you know,
this is going to be a long ride.
Listen to some Kiss or something. do you have a favorite character, Mike, from Vacation?
Well, Chevy has just great lines in that thing. I mean, it's pretty amazing what he does in that thing. You know, real tomato ketchup in? Oh, and the girl, they're at the farmhouse, and the girl is like stirring the Kool-Aid with her arm. Audrey, can I help you with the Kool-Aid? It just like,
please.
She's got her whole arm in the, please. Just great lines, but I love it. And I can't do the lines because they're all foul, but the when he finally snaps in the rain right. And they're trying to bail and they're in Arizona and they just drop off. They're dead. His dead mother-in-law at his brother-in-law's house and they want to leave and they're like, we just want to go. He's like, what? You're going to bail out now?
Nobody's leaving.
I can't even do the lines because they're all filthy.
Right.
Yeah.
I also like the when he gets caught with Christy Brinkley in the pool, and Beverly D'Angelo, who was always my like favorite. I loved Beverly D'Angelo as a kid,
gorgeous.
And she says, "Clark, do you like that girl? We swimming naked with her. Do you like that girl?" And he says, "That girl? No, she's ugly.
Oh. She's ugly."
Hey, we have Conrad said he pulled one of those scenes. What scene do you have, Con?
I have both. I have well, when it leads to Aunt Edna first meeting her.
Okay.
In the movie, and Clark losing it.
Let's do. Can you play Clark Lewis? You
dubbed it? Yeah, yeah.
That's got to be filthy.
Yeah, it's beeped.
Let's do it. Beeps are funny. All right, here's the Clark losing it scene from Vacation in honor of Mike Siegel.
I don't want to be in the car anymore. I want to go home. I don't want to go to Wally World.
Clark, under the circumstances, I wouldn't mind if we just went home. In retrospect, it seems like a pretty bad idea driving out. It's been one disaster after another.
Yeah, it's been a real drag, Dad. Maybe we can try it some other time. Wally World's overrated anyway.
What do you think?
I think you're all in the head. We're 10 hours from the fun park and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fun we'll need plastic surgery to remove our damn smiles. You'll be whistling Symphony Doodah out of your ass. I gotta be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose. Holy shit.
Dad, you want to ask for something?
Don't touch.
Don't touch.
So great. I want to say my favorite scene, and it's hard to pick one, but is I love when they go to pick up the family truckster, and he's with Rusty, and Eugene Levy is the car salesman. And he goes, you didn't order the metallic P? Metallic P? No, Antarctic Blue. And he's just repeating.
I want my super sport wagon with the optional rally fun pack.
This one beats the hell out of the truckster, but I want to make you happy. Have you
seen? You're taking the tribe cross country. The family truckster is the way to go.
This is the car you should be driving. Mike Siegel is my guest, and we're talking about Vacation. It dropped today, 42 years ago. I can't believe it's that old. But Mike, did you see the remake with Ed Helms? And also, what are your other favorite vacations, if you have any?
I did not see that one with Ed Helms, but I did see the originals. I think they did four, right?
Yeah, or three. Maybe five. There's Vegas, European, Christmas. And did they do one other one?
I can look that up. And you know my theory on comedy sequels, Pete. There's never been a comedy sequel as funny as the first. And if you can name one, you know, we've tried this on a driving game, you know, to pass the time,
right?
Come up with a comedy sequel that's funnier the first, and you just can't.
And it's
some are better, some are good, but most of them are disappointing. So two was bad. European was not good, other than the couple scenes that are funny.
So, like, two
constantly
laughs.
Driving around the roundabout, he can't go left but Christmas is a winner.
Christmas Vacation
is a winner.
Still not as good as the original, I don't think.
No,
but good.
But good. And the other one, it was just out of Vegas. Nah, I think they're just milking it at that point, which, you know.
And everything
that happens.
Everything they do is for money. But why did the first one have to be remade? Like, why don't you take Ed Helms, who's hilarious, and call it something else and make it a vacation movie? It's not like you can't do that, but it's inevitably forever going to be compared to the first one, and that you just can't do that.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, they can, you know, you can borrow plots. There's always going to be road trip movies with families. I mean, it doesn't have to be Vacation. They don't have to be the Griswolds. They don't have to be, but you know, I mean, it's built in audience. They're trying to, you know, less marketing on their part, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, it does kind of taint the original, but I hope people seek out the original first.
Absolutely.
Because it's so great. I mean, you would never get away with some of the jokes too now, like, you know, dragging the carcass of the dog. I mean, when you look back on it, like, woo, boy, PETA would be all over you with that.
That one and the scene in St. Louis that Harold Ramis said he's ashamed of, and he wished he wouldn't have put that in just from a racial standpoint. But Mike Siegel's my guest. We're going to do a very short break and come back and talk about his podcast, Travel Tales, and I'm going to ask him where I should go. That's coming up next. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Come together.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Pete Schwabba. Got a few more minutes here before we close out this Tuesday night. My guest is Mike Siegel. He is the host of the Travel Tales podcast and has hosted many TV shows and is a touring national stand-up comedian. Mike, let's talk about Travel Tales. Such a great, I mean, you were like kind of into the ground floor with travel podcasts, right?
I've been doing it, since 2011, wow. Amazingly enough. So, I kind of got in early, but now to the, like, you know, everybody has a podcast. So yeah. It's nice that I did get to garner a little bit of a loyal audience while you still could. I wouldn't know how to break through now with a different show. And the thing about travel is it's also a very visual thing. So a lot of people, you know, I would have done a YouTube channel by now or some kind of visual thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of like the art of interviewing and talking to people and kind of long form interviews and things like that and just kind of getting to know somebody. So, and I think part of it's also after being on stage for so long and being on an actual TV and stuff, you know, it's kind of nice to not have a camera on me sometimes.
Sure. It's nice to, too. So, you started the podcast about traveling in 2011. You didn't actually start traveling until 2016 and you somehow pulled that off. But,
Take it till you make it, Pete.
That's right. If people were going to give a listen, where would they find it? And what episode, Mike, would you have them start with if one jumps out at you?
Oh, boy.
To hook
them? There's so many hundreds. It depends on kind of what they're into. We've had a guy recently who climbed, made it to Everest, did the actual top of Everest. We've had a girl who just moved to, she was from the U.S. and Texas and went to London once and decided she wanted to move there and made it happen. And now she's got her own podcast helping people move to abroad. And I'm getting a lot more of that these days, a lot of expats, because it just seems to be more and more Americans are interested in leaving.
Yeah.
Or at the very least having a second passport, or just, even if it's not permanently, the pandemic taught a lot of people that they could work remotely. And if you can work remotely, it's like, why not? You know, there's digital nomad visas that a lot of countries have that you can go there. All you have to do is prove you make a certain amount every month and you could stay for a year or whatever. It's like, hey, maybe I'll go live in Thailand for a year or something. And, you know, again, if you have kids, it's a hard thing. But if you young person in their 20s, if you can make it happen, why not? I mean, that wasn't an option for us back in the day.
Okay. So I have one more question for you. And I talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. I haven't been too many places. I kind of missed my window there. I was in my 20s. I was happy to be seeing America, doing stand-up. And that was all I needed at that point in my life. But what would you tell someone like me or one of my listeners who hasn't really gone anywhere exotic or done much international traveling? Where would you tell them to go if they could only go one place?
Well, I mean, one of the things we always try to do is like make sure people know that it's not as expensive as they think it's going to be. Hmm. We're so used to traveling around America. You know, people would ask me, how do you spend 3 weeks in Asia? How can you afford that? I go, people spend more at a weekend in Vegas, literally, than I can spend. I can spend 2 weeks in Asia for what people spend. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking on a weekend, you could spend $500 a night on a hotel room in Vegas and you haven't even eaten or gambled or seen a show yet or drank.
Lost the kids' college funds. Yeah,
absolutely. So it doesn't have to be. So if you have any kind of points, you know, there's whole websites devoted to getting points and miles and utilizing those. But if you've never been anywhere first, I think one thing that really opened my eyes, my first trip was after college. You know, I'd never left the country since before that. And just go to Europe. It's very easy to get around. It's safe. You'll see a bunch of different cultures in a small window of time. And you've heard so much about it, your life, and you've seen it in movies and know all about it. You never get a true feel until you're there. So it's very easy to get around with the trains and now with the euro, where you're not changing money every country like we used to.
Right.
And it's just easy. So I would go to Europe first and then use that as a jumping point.
That's a great point too. And you can see there are all the, a lot of countries close together like that. It's not like you're going to New Zealand or, that's a great answer.
I mean, you don't have to go halfway around the world. I mean, you just got to hop over the pond and, you know, and if you can only do one, you know, go to the UK for a little bit.
Sure.
You know, that's not intimidating. There's not a real culture shock and there's no language problem. So any of those are all good.
I just want to hear someone say, freshen your drink, governor. We got a text here, Mike, from Ross in Madison, whose favorite vacation line is, you might have said this before, he says, I don't know why they call it Hamburger Helper.
Helper.
It does just fine by itself. That's great, Ross. Thank you. Tom from New Berlin says, hilarious. Tom says, thanks, Pete. Great show using AI to enhance your profile. It's called a comb over. Oh, that's good, Tom. Thank you. Where are you?
Oh, Mike? I forgot.
Oh, go ahead.
I forgot a great line when Cousin Eddie walks out and he sees the trucks for the first time. He's like, is that you? Ooh, she's a beaut. Love those green walls.
And another one you just made me think of when he hands Clark the white shoes. And Eddie says, I remember last time you remarked how much you like mine. And Edna starts yelling and Clark shuts the door in her face and just says, I love him, Eddie.
Right.
Mike, so fun. Thank you for making time for the show tonight, even though you're in a hotel room. It's great to talk to you and great to talk vacation and travel tales and all that good stuff. Hope you're well, buddy.
Thank you. No, it's great to talk to you always. It's fun.
Yeah. We'll talk soon on what I like to call the telephone and we'll catch up without all these people
What
listening.
Is that? Yeah. A what?
We just texted.
We can swear then, right? I can do the actual line.
You can swear as much as you want and I hope you do.
Attaboy.
All right. Mike Siegel, folks. Thanks so much, Mike. We are talking with some really fun guests tonight. Matt Miller, talk movies. Kim Mothy, talked Mile of Music. And we're going to have a great conversation about mustard coming up in just a few minutes, folks, at 7:35. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me. We've got our question of the night is, what is a fruit or vegetable you hated as a kid but you like now? I said avocado. Conrad said broccoli. Conrad's mom... Oh, I already read your mom's, right? She likes mushrooms.
I used to hate mushrooms.
Yeah.
But now?
Can't get enough of them.
Exactly.
Dave on the stream said, Conrad, search the band that played Saturday at the Memorial Terrace. That's what needs to be. That's what needs to be Terry's Bar Band. Okay, so I think we missed a text in there from Dave because I didn't know what he's referring to, but that makes sense. So we can ask Terry about that. Look at Dave giving you stuff to do, Conrad. How do you feel about that? I don't know Dave well, but I'm pretty sure you could take him if he gets any more mouthy.
So Dave and Chris versus you and I.
That's what we do here on Nightlight. We line up fights for ourselves. It's a lot of fun. I don't know Dave well, but I like your chances against Dave more than mine against Chris.
I don't know. Chris might be able to take both of us at once.
You don't know, though. What if Chris is just a big sweetie and wants nothing to do with it?
I think he is.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'll keep telling myself that. So let's go to the text line. We heard from Ollie. Where are my texts here? I got to catch up here. Okay. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, in the movie The Exorcist, Linda Blair made pea soup look good. I don't like canned peas and never will. I don't like canned peas either, but... And I know he's being sarcastic, but that is absolutely terrible. Did you ever see The Exorcist?
I don't watch any horror movies.
It's just, it's so horrible.
Oh, you know what I did watch over the weekend, though?
Hmm.
The Rudd and Jenna Ortega movie, To Kill a Unicorn or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
It was so weird.
Weird, yeah. It looked really, I didn't really want to see it when I saw that.
You know, it's like when they killed the unicorn, Jenna... touched the staff of the unicorn.
Okay.
And like she went into another dimension.
What?
You got to watch it to see, you know, to see how crazy it is.
Yeah, that doesn't really do it for me. John Murray from the 608, he's in Madison, says, Pete, dad made me sit until I ate them. After an hour, his was peas, I think, right? I think of
yeah.
John. Yeah, okay. Dad made me sit until I ate them. After an hour, me being stubborn, he shoveled me a bite and I immediately vomited on his arm and lap. He pulled an exorcist, John did. That's terrible, John. He says, can eat them now if I have to. I assume without vomiting, he says, isn't often. Well, you're an adult now, John. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do, especially when it comes to the edibles. Edible foods, that is. Conrad's dad, checking in from Florida, says, for the record, I love all kinds of soups. He is totally throwing you under the bus, my friend. He says, as a kid, I didn't like yams or sweet potatoes, but now love. Yeah, I'm with you on that one too, Steve. They are healthier than potatoes. They are healthier and they taste good too. I was scared of sweet potatoes as a kid. You know, your dad and I probably need to pal around because we agree quite a bit on text.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's that orange look that kind of scared me weird. About it. I like sweet potatoes too now though.
But I like oranges, so I don't understand that. But John says he was 10 when he vomited on his dad's arm. So that's good. Thank you, John, for those visuals and for being part of the show. Jim from Brookfield says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Never liked canned peas as a kid. However, I liked cooked or frozen peas. I like cooked or frozen peas now. My wife also makes a pea mash. That's very good. That sounds really unappetizing, I have to say. I don't know if I'd like peas if they were mashed up. I like them now, especially with like mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving. If they were mashed up, I don't know if I could do that. Paul from Bayview, he's in the 414, says, radishes, hated as a kid, now slices on a salad, perfect. Yeah, I'm with you, Paul. I like radishes. And those are something I learned to like as well. AJ from the 608 says, happy Wednesday, Pete and Conrad. I honestly still dislike all fruits and vegetables today that I did as a kid. No evolution there for AJ. She says, including bananas, green grapes, and eggplant. I'll try them every now and again, and they're still nasty. Wow, bananas.
You know, if you ever have you ever tried a deep fried eggplant?
I don't think so, and I'm not a huge fan of eggplant. And we've talked about that.
Yeah. It's dynamite.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. A little crispy, something would help. I don't like the consistency of it. But great text. Dave is not taking the bait for the fight. Conrad and Dave, we're gonna fight. Dave has called it off more or less as he's a lover, not a fighter.
Now we can just talk over a bowl of soup.
Well, he can. Unless yours is cheese broccoli. Yeah. All right. I think Dave has a great message there tonight. Love, don't fight. So I want to talk. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun. I might have to go see that. I still haven't seen Friendship. Speaking of comedies, the Paul Rudd film Friendship. And I do want to see The Naked Gun. But I will say, and I talked about this with Lisa Hale today. Check out New Wisco Weekend, folks, if you haven't. It's on this weekend. You have two opportunities to catch this great news magazine show that focuses here on Northeast Wisconsin. Lisa does a great job. I sent her, or she said she saw something in my beats. I think I did a Pete's pick for Dexter, and she hit me back right away with a message. She's like, please have me on to talk about Dexter. I love Dexter. I've watched the entire show multiple times. Lisa might have some shallow graves in her backyard.
She might.
She's a blast, though. But check out New Wisco Weekend. My pick this weekend will be Jaws because it will be re-released. And the theme is summertime, so I went with Jaws. What did you... Do you got something on...
I don't got something this week.
No? What happened, man?
Just vacation stuff, you know? Kind of line up stuff.
Catching up with you. Okay. All right, when we come back, folks, we've already talked music. We've already talked movies. It's time for Mustard. That's a great slogan for the National Mustard Museum.
It's time for mustard.
I'm gonna run that by Barry when he joins us here. After the news, that's coming up next. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I already forgot my great mustard quote. Oh, my God. All right. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Falling apart here after what's been an amazing show. I am Pete Schwabe. It is so great to have you with me on this Wednesday talking about all the things in life that we love. We've covered movies. We've covered music. We are about to jump into the third natural progression from both of those subjects, mustard. The National Mustard Museum is here in Wisconsin, if you didn't know that, in the town of Middleton, and they have the largest collection of mustards in the world. Joining me now to discuss this delicious condiment is the curator of all things Mustard Museum, Barry Levinson. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Pete.
How are you?
Good. Just great.
This is so, I love finding guests like you because you have such a specialized interest and career. It's just, and your museum is so cool. I just kind of stumbled in there after having breakfast in Middleton last Saturday. It's such a great place. Let's start. How did you end up in the mustard game? How do you get to be a museum curator, this really cool gig?
Okay. I used to be a lawyer, so don't hold that against me. and in 1986, my beloved Red Sox lost the World Series.
Oh, dear.
To the Mets. And I was just devastated. So I was so depressed. I couldn't sleep. So I went to an all-night supermarket just to cry away my tears.
Yeah.
And when I went down the condiment aisle, I heard this voice coming from the mustards. If you collect us, they will come. I did. They have.
Oh, that's fantastic. And first of all, my condolences, because I think everybody in 1986, I remember exactly where I was. That was the ball that went through Bill Buckner's legs, right?
Yeah, that was game six, and then they lost game seven.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was at a bar called Hamilton's in Chicago, and I remember because Bill Buckner jumped all over my Cubs when a ball went through Leon Durham's legs in the 1984 playoffs, costing them the game. And that's who replaced Bill Buckner. So I thought it was poetic justice, albeit very sad poetic justice, because you never wish that on anybody. But
no,
my retroactive condolences. So, all right.
Thank
so
you.
Are you from Boston, Barry?
I'm from Worcester.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very nice.
So that's just 40 miles west of Boston.
Boston's a great comedy town. I'm excited to, I'm even more excited to meet you now. All right. So you're kind of kidding, but is there some truth to the mustards talking to you?
Oh, yeah. There's absolute truth to that, because that's the night. It was October 28th, 1986, that I started collecting mustards. So
no kidding.
I did. Now, I didn't quit right away. But I got another sign 6 months later. I was arguing a case at the U.S. Supreme Court, and I did it with a jar of mustard in my pocket because I had found a jar on a discarded room service tray. And I didn't have time to look it up to research the issue. So I think I did what every good lawyer would do. I took it. I just took it.
I have so many lawyers in my family, and I guarantee you they're going to hear this interview. I love this. All right. So that's kind of a cool thing that maybe something Atticus Finch never could have said, that he argued with a mustard in his pocket. But so did even before you had this epiphany, I assume you were a fan of mustard as a condiment.
Yeah, I did. I loved mustard in cream sauces. Obviously on hot dogs and bratwurst.
Yeah.
Because mustard goes well with just about everything.
Agreed. And coming from, the first part of my childhood was spent in Chicago, where you do not even talk about putting ketchup on a hot dog. It's all mustard.
No.
And, mustard is low cal. If you eat it in its purest form, I don't think it has any calories. It's kind
That's
of healthy,
true.
Right?
Yeah, it is very healthy. So mustard is definitely a good alternative to the K word, right?
So,
and also, did you know that according to the National Condiment Research Council, ketchup, the annual report that came out about 2 weeks ago, ketchup is now the leading cause of childhood stupidity in America.
Conrad, you need to do some research, please. Take a memo. Get the director of the National Ketchup Museum on our list. We have to have him on the show. So, all right. Well, that's great stuff. And I, you know what? Listen, a lot of ketchup has high fructose corn syrup. You might be right about that, for all I know. But how do you go from Worcester to finding your spot in Middleton? Such a Madison is such a great town, a great area. How did you end up there just to take that job?
No, I went to law school here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So, in fact, even though I no longer practice law, I teach food law at the University of Wisconsin Law School.
Oh, fantastic.
It's fun. It's just fun.
I bet it is. My guest is Barry Levinson. He is the curator of the National Mustard Museum right here in Middleton, Wisconsin. And he is joining us over the stream here on Nightlight tonight. All right, I have to ask you, during the break, we were pretty excited to have you on because we haven't talked about really condiments in general on the show since I've been doing this for a year and a half. Conrad said he was in Door County recently and had a cherry honey mustard. And I almost just put up a sign here and went to a replay to go taste that. It sounded so good. What is your favorite kind of mustard, Barry?
Well, I love Dijon mustards, good, strong Dijon mustards. But I like brown mustards. You know, I like just about all mustards. You know, there are 18 categories of mustard at the Worldwide Mustard Competition. And I love them all.
Do you eat them daily? Do you have mustard on just about everything? Or am I just getting crazy now?
Okay. I do. Yeah. Every day. And we've got National Mustard Day coming up on Saturday. Yeah,
I know. August 2nd, that's going to be a lot. What do you guys do at the National Mustard Museum for National Mustard Day?
Well, we've got mustard ice cream.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And it sold out the last 3 years. So the same flavor is coming back. And it's a raspberry honey mustard with little chips of chocolate in it.
That actually sounds pretty good, I have to say.
It is really good. Also, we've got Gorman Thomas. Do you remember Gorman?
Sure, Storm and Gorman.
Storm and Gorman, and he's going to be here because he makes a sauce. He won a silver medal at the Worldwide Mustard Competition with his sauce. So he's going to be here. We've got mustard ice cream, of course. We've got Usinger's hot dogs from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And also bratwurst. We've got live music all day. And we've got mustard games for kids of all ages.
You're trying to hook them young, aren't you, Barry?
Yeah, we are trying to hook them. Yeah.
So, all right, on a day that's not National Mustard Day, what can people expect? How much time do they need to go to the Mustard Museum? I'm sure that's an easy, you know, they can spend 5 minutes or 2 hours, but what's that experience like? And what, you as curator, what are you hoping they walk away with? Just a bigger love of mustard, tons of products. What's that visit like?
Well, in the gift shop, which is separate from the nonprofit museum, but you can taste hundreds of mustards. Probably about 80 different mustards at a given time. And also, you're going to see the world's largest collection of mustards. We have over 7,000 different mustards from all around the world.
That's incredible. Have you ever been tempted to make your own? Or have you?
Oh, yeah, I've done it. Okay. I've done it.
Sure. Is it hard? Is it a hard process to...
No. No, it's not. It's really not a hard process, although the skill of the mustard maker is really crucial. So, I mean, there can be just ordinary mustards, but a really good mustard is really a thing to behold.
That's so interesting. It immediately made me think of like a sommelier or just someone who's into wine. Like, can someone like you, who's an aficionado about mustard, go back to just basic yellow mustard, or do you have to have more nuanced mustards in your, you know, for your palate or someone of your sophisticated knowledge of mustard?
Well, when I go to the ballpark, and I often do because I'm still a fan of baseball, but the first thing I have to do is get a hot dog with yellow mustard, hold it up to the sky. I just look at it, and it just brings me home.
That's so great.
You know, yellow mustard is not something I look down on. In fact, okay. French is a supporter of the nonprofit Mustard Museum.
No kidding. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, just to go on record here, your Red Sox and my Cubs eventually redeem themselves in the big game since that horrible 86. In fact, I think the Red Sox have won 2 or 3, right, since then?
Yeah, I think they've won 3. And I'm also have to report to you that the Red Sox beat the Twins today 13-1.
Okay. Well, as long as we're on the topic of baseball, you mentioned Gorman Thomas. There's a great documentary called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. I don't know if you've seen it, but they were such a fun
team. Yes, I have.
Yeah, we've had the filmmakers on quite a bit. It's such a great great documentary. So, all right, I'm glad you saw that. Talk a little bit about your award winners that you have, like, and what flavors are they?
Well, we've got honey mustards, sweet hot mustards, yellow mustards. We've got fruit mustards, herb mustards, exotic mustards, like we could have Dijon mustards flavored with truffles, for example, which is quite elegant. We've been holding the Worldwide Mustard Competition every year since 1995. And there are now 18 categories of mustard. And the judges, which are made up of food writers, chefs, and mustard aficionados like me,
wow.
Although I don't judge them because I know too many of them just by tasting. So, you know, that's a curse for me. But, this year's chef grand prize winner was made in Finland. Last year, it was made in Argentina. So mustard is really universal.
It's making me want mustard right now. This whole talk is just exceptional. Thank you so much for your time. Barry, I have to ask you, I ask a lot of the guests we have on the show, we've got a minute or so left.
Sure.
What do you watch on TV? Are you binge watching anything you could recommend?
Am I binge watching? You know, I tune in occasionally to MSNBC, which is kind of my favorite station.
Sure.
And so I'm trying to think if I binge watch anything. I don't really, because I'm kind of preoccupied with mustard, which is terrible. I know
no,
that.
No, it's fantastic. You got to make a documentary. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Barry. I heard from one of my coworkers, John Scott, this mustard guy, great guest. And I totally agree with him. Thank you so much for your time and have a great National Mustard Day.
Okay. And hasta la mustard.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.